Hey, I'm Scott Hansman, and it's Azure Friday. We're back here with Telos and Payo. We're going to talk about virtual network appliances. It can be a complex topic. Yep. I understand that you're going to make it a little simpler for me.
Going to make it a little bit more available. Let's put it that way.
Okay.
Right? So one of the issues that we have today with virtual appliances is the fact that for high availability, if you want to really, for instance, put a firewall in there that's logging every traffic coming in,
right,
we can't necessarily use load balancers today, right? Because they open individual ports. They can't say, let all traffic go through. So we worked together with a lot of virtual appliance partners that we have. Mm-hmm. We looked at customers that were having issues as well. We came up with a solution for that, where we basically do out-of-band monitoring of those virtual appliances. So we have a set of ZooKeeper clients running in the background.
One of ZooKeeper.
Them is ZooKeeper. It's an open source piece of code that allows you to have multiple instances of a specific VM running. Mm-hmm. And you can write code that basically checks with ZooKeeper to say, hey, am I the leader here? Am I the person who's supposed to be doing something? So it gives you a little bit of high availability there.
Okay.
Right? So we have a ZooKeeper cluster running, a server cluster. We have the monitoring clients, they're just checking in with ZooKeeper, saying, hey, you know, who's the leader here?
Right.
One of those is elected as a leader. That one has our monitoring code running. Hmm. And what that monitoring code basically does is it tries to connect to a virtual appliance. As long as that virtual appliance is there, it doesn't do anything. The moment that it sees that virtual appliance is down, we can configure that to say, hey, check it, you know, every second. And once you can get a connection three times in a row, now go and run another piece of code.
Right.
That piece of code can be customized. You can actually come up with your own class to do that. Mm-hmm. Right? Ours basically looks at a config file, says, oh, now that that virtual appliance is down, there are a few things that are connected to it that need to be connected to another virtual appliance. That could be, for instance, a public IP address, if you're exposing that to the internet, or it could be user-defined routes. They're sending traffic from your VNets through that firewall. Think of it that way. Right? So that's really what the solution does.
Forgive my ignorance, but is this a kind of a failover for virtual appliances?
It really is. It's a failover for virtual appliances, right? One would using that in an active passive scenario.
So when I think most people are familiar with with like the idea of failover is when they have like an active SQL server and a passive one or a web server.
Yep.
And I think about it in the context of virtual networks and appliances. That's a world that a lot of people don't necessarily live in.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a little bit foreign to them.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely. And it's very similar too, right? So if you think about physical appliances on premises, right, it's very similar to a SQL cluster or web cluster. You're going to have two of those physical appliances running in there, and they have some type of protocol to sync with each other and sync in state and monitor each other. However, those specific technologies don't work on the cloud yet, right? And it's not just us. And so what we did is we came up with a way that's generic that will work with any virtual appliance that we can give some kind of availability here.
Right? Is this paranoia though? Like, should I just maybe just pick one network appliance and just it'll be fine? Like five nines is enough.
Yeah, I agree with you. Five nines might be enough. Well.
Or, you know, I don't know, three nines, four nines. I guess what I'm saying is that there's always going to be a single point of failure. It sounds like what you're doing is you're just making sure that if you don't want that single point of failure,
you have a solution. Exactly.
Right.
And we have that a lot, specifically larger enterprise customers where they have to go through compliance. And, you know, a lot of those compliance bodies, they're not used to the way the cloud works yet.
Yep.
So they're still looking for those same on-prem structures to be there, right? So this is a way that they can go around and make sure that they are compliant, right? And still provide some form of availability.
So thereby giving them the best of both worlds and having them feel comfortable.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So customers feel comfortable. It's similar to what they have on-prem. Compliance bodies look at it and say, okay, I understand what's happening here.
What's being expressed in your diagram here?
So yeah, so this diagram, what we have here is just a basic web app, right? I have some VMs exposed through a load balancer in here. I'm exposing that to the internet through a public IP. Now that public IP is not linked to that load balancer at all. It's really linked to one of my virtual appliances. So think of this as my firewall, right? Mm-hmm. Request comes in, that firewall does whatever it does, sends it out. Now, on this web tier now, I have a user-defined route that says, hey, whenever traffic is going out, don't just shoot it out to the internet, shoot it to that firewall. That firewall will take it, do what it has to do, send it out, right? And these are the things that we have to change here. If that virtual appliance ever fails, right, now that pip is connected to a NIC that's no longer available. that UDR is pointing to a NIC that's no longer available. So at that point, what our Zookeeper monitoring nodes will do is they will switch that UDR, they'll switch that PIP.
I see.
If you're only working with UDRs, we have a lot of customers that do that. They don't expose anything to the internet. They just use Azure as an extension of their data center, right? The time to recover is a little bit better. It's about 30 seconds, right? When you have that PIP, that could take a couple of minutes, unfortunately, right?
How important do you need to be? How fancy does your company need to be? When is it time to go from connecting the web tier to the public internet versus I'm an enterprise, I'm trying to make an Amazon or a Jet.com or someone like that, and I go like legit. You know what I mean? Like, this is quite sophisticated, because I had someone email me recently about a startup that they were doing, and this is three or four people doing a startup. They were trying to describe a scenario like this, and I didn't know when to tell them, here's how fancy you need to be when you start doing that. Are these 100-person companies, 1,000-person companies, and what are their needs?
These are thousands of person companies, right? This is really the Fortune 500 companies that need this type of stuff.
Okay.
It's usually because they require, like I said, for compliance, they require a lot of logging that today we don't provide.
That makes sense.
Right? Also, they are required to maintain their own intrusion detection systems that, you know, although we do that ourselves, they don't have control over it. So it's really a way of saying, hey, you know the way you're doing things on-prem today, and they're used to, and you have control of all these variables, you can have that same control here using the same appliances that you have on premises, right? So it gives them that little kick and that easy of migrating from on premises to Azure. And
That's
as time goes by and more features come in and they get more comfortable with the cloud, that goes away.
Interesting.
Right? So it's really a barrier of entry at this point.
I think that the way that you phrased that was really great, because that is a bit of context that I think people don't realize. When you are being asked to move into the cloud, very often you're being asked, or you feel you're being asked, to give up control.
Yep, you are.
And someone will say, well, what about DDoS? No, we got that. Trust us. What about intrusion detection? No, it's fine. We got that.
Absolutely.
That's a lot of trust.
Yeah.
And a lot of giving up of control. And what I'm hearing you say is that if you don't want to give up that control, you have far more control than you even realized.
Absolutely.
All the way down to your network virtual appliances that you might have thought you'd have to give up.
Yeah, absolutely. That's really the idea.
Where can we read about this scenario?
This is on GitHub. If you go to GitHub MSBNP, HANVA, right? We have the whole documentation here on what this does, right? What the actual design looks like,
there you go.
And how to deploy it, right? So I have a deployed environment here that I can show you, right? But basically what we have is it's an R template that you deploy. It creates the virtual machines that are going to be running Docker, so everything is containerized, right? Zookeeper has its own containers. Our monitoring client have their own containers. You can spin those up really quick. They're very small. In a small VM in Azure, it takes about 1.2% CPU. So you can run a few monitoring clients in there. And if you have different sets of NVAs, you can use the same Zookeeper cluster within the region to monitor those different sets of NVAs. And we have customers who are doing that today.
One of the things that I think is really nice about this, and I want to give you a compliment, is that rather than you publishing a Word doc and sticking it up on Microsoft Download Center, the kinds of prescriptive guidance that are coming out is templates, it's real world, it's scripts, and it's open. So if someone finds a better way or an optimization, you're open to that.
Absolutely, yeah, we are. And we have sustained engineering working on this, so we have people who actually look at those issues every day, right? And they fix bugs and they come back to us and say, hey, we have some suggestions in here that we should take a look at.
Very cool.
Which is quite nice. So let me show you this running really quick, and we'll do a failure and everything in here. If we go back in here, and I'm just going to bring this up, make it a little bit bigger, right? So the first thing I want to do is I want to go ahead and SSH into this jump box. The jump box is just there so I can connect to all those VMs without, you know, exposing them to the internet. All right, let me open that up. And I actually have a nice little script in here that will prepare the whole environment for me so I don't have to think about it.
Fancy.
But what the script did basically is it started Zookeeper for me. So now I have three Zookeeper nodes up and running on this one VM. And down here in these two bottom panes, what we have is two instances of our monitoring code, right? And the second one is actually running. The first one seems like there was an error in there. Mm-hmm. Let me just do a...
In the context of an availability demo, is that good or bad? It could be a good thing because you can show the system.
It can show that it's actually working, yeah, because the bottom one is working.
Bottom one's fine and it's done its job.
So it's reading its config file and figuring out what it is that it has to monitor. That's what it's doing here right now. Uh-huh. And at some point in time, it's going to be done and just saying, hey, I'm pinging the network virtual appliance now.
Okay.
Right? So, and it's going to keep looping on that. Let me start this one here. And let me go back to the logs. That's exactly what that had done for me.
Monitor one.
Thank you very much. And this should look better. Yep. All right. So it's getting some ping responses in here. All right. So one of them is actually monitoring. That's the bottom one. The top one is just talking to Zookeeper so that it knows when it becomes a leader. Right. Mm-hmm. So if that goes down, we're done. On the top right here, what we have is the two network virtual appliances that I have, so the two firewalls, mm-hmm. right? And I'm using a little utility called ifdop. It's a nice little old utility that shows me network connections going through that appliance, mm-hmm. right? So if I go back here and I start accessing that pip, right? I'm hitting a default page on Ubuntu, so it's actually going through mm-hmm. and accessing data. If I go back in here, you see that is,
yep, there it is.
The firewall that actually took that traffic.
Okay.
Right, so it's just letting it go.
So can you, you're going to kick that one over?
I'm going to kick that one over. This is, I believe that's NVA2. So let me go ahead and kick that out. So here's NVA2. I'm going to do a very drastic sudo power off. Before I do that really quick, though, actually, I'm just going to do it. Power off, gone. Oh, I powered off the wrong one. That's awesome. It was NVA1 that was running it.
That's great. It was dramatic.
Great. It was very dramatic,
Does it
right?
Still work?
It's still working, right? So if I go back here and I refresh this, it is still working. All right, let me just find that NVA2 and start that. Okay. Yeah, so yeah, the monitor is working. Unfortunately, we lost that, but
that was a tough guess.
That was a bad guess. It was just the panes were done.
You would think that two would be on the right.
Yeah, exactly.
I blame Tmux.
Yeah, I'll blame Tmux on that too. That works for me. Okay, there we are. So we're back here.
It sure started up fast too.
It does, yeah. We make sure that those...
Bring up your monitoring.
All right, so I'm just going to filter for port 80.
You need to go Oop. IFTOP.
Yep. Fat fingers, small keyboard, that's what happens. All right. There we go. Okay, so let's bring down the right machine this time.
Okay.
So that's powering off.
So that's gone. So if you went back right away and you hit refresh on that public IP, I would expect it to hang.
It's just hanging.
Right now it's hanging.
And if it
over there?
Yeah. If it can roll over in 15, 20 seconds, the user will think it's a hiccup.
Exactly.
And not you know, chaos.
Exactly. Right. And then if we go back here and we look at things like the pip that we're exposing. Right. Just want to show you that the pip is now changing.
Mm-hmm. Changing on the inside to point.
On the inside, yeah. So it points to a different NIC. As soon as we find it.
There you go.
There's the NVA pip. Right? And you notice that it's not associated to anything right now.
Okay.
Right? If I go back here, I'm going to see that down here below, it's saying that it's changing the pip.
There you go. So rather than you having to get paged, freak out, log into the portal, change the association yourself,
exactly.
It's happening for you. So action is being taken, it's been detected and it's handled.
Absolutely.
There you go. Got
and it's going to change that
So removing public IP address there.
Yeah, removing it. So it's going to put it in there in the web.
Adding
so
public IP address.
Adding it now to the second VM,
yep,
on NIC 1.
Yep. So, oh, there you go. Removed from VM 1.
Yep.
And then got a ping response from the session. So
it's still
staying alive.
Staying alive. And then it's going to change whatever user-defined routes we have as well. Right. So at this point, if we go back to over here, we already see that this is associated to a new NIC in a portal.
Nice.
Right. In a few minutes, it's going to show that it's on the VM. But it's at this point, at least the pip is working. And look
and
at this. I'm back.
Where you were. So back 20, where we were. 20, 30 seconds.
Yeah. And then if you go back here, you see that the traffic is going out through that other virtual appliance.
Very cool.
That's it.
All right.
Cool.
That was the TMUX usage was pretty sweet, I have to say. That was pretty nice.
Awesome.
We need to have more people using TMUX on Azure Friday. We're
we'll
learning all about high availability and network appliances here on Azure Friday.